Did you know that one of only a handful of trained Jewish scribes in South Africa also happens to be the rabbi of Victory Park Shul? A scribe or sofer is someone who meticulously writes out the holiest Jewish texts by hand, letter by letter, in accordance with centuries of tradition. His sacred work keeps the heart of Jewish life beating one handwritten letter at a time. From Torah scrolls to mezuzahs and tefillin, his craft is steeped in halakha, precision, and deep spiritual meaning. So who am I talking about? Well, today we are now joined by Rabbi Azriel Uzfolk, who is the rabbi of Victory Park Shul, and who also spends time working as a sofer, and his quiet dedication ensures that these ancient rituals remain alive, one ink stroke at a time. Rabbi, I'm so excited to talk to you because I've never actually spoken to anybody about the intricacy and the work that goes into being a sofer. Let me start by asking you, I mean, you're the rabbi of Victory Park, so how did you come to be a scribe and what kind of training did you have to do to become one?
Paula, firstly, thank you for inviting me to the show. And the introduction that you gave is wonderful. You can really be my PRO.
Accepted.
So, Paula, I actually started off my rabbinic career in the classroom. And I spent about 20, 25 years in the classroom. And it came together with rabbinic posts. At some stage, I felt that I was not being effective in the classroom anymore. I was teaching Jewish studies, and I felt that to teach Jewish studies, you really need to have a passion. It's not just about passing on information, and I felt that I wasn't doing that anymore. And I then looked to other avenues of firstly making up that revenue, that money. And as a child, I'd been told that a scribe cannot be left-handed. I'd always been fascinated by scribing. And so I didn't even pursue it.
Because, of course, you're left-handed, yes.
Because I'm left-handed. I then found out that that's not true. That it's just that you are not allowed to write with your left hand if you are right-handed. Similarly, if you are left-handed, you're not allowed to write with your right hand. It's actually very interesting that one comment like that can change a person's career path for years. And I think I was fascinated by the scribing at a young age because I was always exposed to art. My parents encouraged me to go to art lessons. I used to go to Artists Under the Sun. And I went to the Yeovil Recreation Center. There were art lessons at night. And then together with Jewish law, halakha, Talmud, I went to yeshivas. And the combination of art and meticulous Jewish law really grabs me.
And then what kind of training did you have to do to actually become a sofer?
So it's like all areas of Jewish law that are covered in what we call the Code of Jewish Law, the Shulchan Aruch. And there are chapters in the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, that deal with the laws of writing. So the first thing was to find a recognized institution that would give a qualification for having learned the material. And, you know, I found a place in B'nai Brak, and I communicated with them, and then I went on my own really to learn the material. Once I had that, I had to go to Israel to actually write the test. And then once I wrote the test, I remember that was just such an exciting day when I got that certificate. It was pretty straight away, and phoned home, and it was amazing. And then though, they said, okay, you are qualified to, you qualified, I think, just to write, but you should know that we haven't seen your handwriting yet. It was something that I didn't really know at the time, that I sort of brought a sample of my writing. So then a whole other process came into being of having to learn and actually sit with people that would hands-on show me what to do. It wasn't enough to have the theory. until I could get to the point of actually writing my own mezuzah, my own scroll. Then there was another exam that had to do with being qualified as to check, so that if somebody sent me their filling, their mezuzahs, a Torah, to check, I need to be qualified to be a checker. And that also took training. I went to Israel and sat with a pro, and I remember he gave me a pile of non-kosher, invalid mezuzahs. When I say invalid, I could get to that later for the benefit of the audience. And we had to find what was wrong, or if it was wrong, and ready to go through tens, maybe hundreds of scrolls. So that was hands-on training. I also did a stint in London where someone gave me hands-on experience, but it was very important to get that hands-on experience.
I know that you work in your own workshop at home. What kind of spiritual mindset do you need when you sit down to write holy words? Is there a particular kavanah or a discipline that you try to hold?
So I try to be spiritually beautiful, but I've always got work to do. An obligation, a requirement that before we write God's name, we actually go to the mikveh, immerse in a pool of purifying waters. And so that's the first thing. Then in terms of the mindset, you have to, at the beginning of the writing, you need to make a proclamation that I am hereby about to write this mezuzah, say, for the sake of the mezuzah and all the names of God, for the intention of God's name. And if you don't actually make that proclamation and think about that, then the mezuzah also can look beautiful, but it's actually not kosher. And then in terms of a mindset, it's very meticulous work, as you said. So I need to be in a state of being relaxed. My kids and family know that they can't disturb me while I'm writing. You really need to be in the zone to be focused and to write each letter one at a time.
Rabbi, I found it interesting when you spoke about that they checked your handwriting, because my understanding is that there are thousands of halachic details involved in writing and each letter is meaningful. Are you not just copying, forgive my ignorance, are you not just copying the letters as they have been handed down in the generations? What do you mean when you say each person has their own handwriting?
No, well, what I mean is, say you were doing even English calligraphy and you were doing a course, and you learned how to write the letter A. The fact that you can describe the letter A to me doesn't mean that you know how to write it. So until you master actually writing it, I cannot give you a qualification that you can write the A. So yes, on the one hand, it is, the letters are all the way back. If I'd open up tefillin of my grandfather and his grandfather and his grandfather all the way back to Ezra the scribe, I would find the same text and the letters written in the same way. Slight variances in terms of there were times over history where the writing was influenced maybe by the environment. So sometimes the letters were elongated, but still the same basic structure.
How long does it take to write, for example, the Shema inside a mezuzah? And what's the process like?
So you write, in the mezuzah has got the two paragraphs of the Shema Ve'ahavta, we call that paragraph one, and there it's actually written. And you will write them on the mezuzot, the doorposts of your house, your houses. And then similarly in the second paragraph, V'haya im shamua, it's written, Uchtavtam al mezuzot beitecha, again, and you will write them on the doorposts of your home. So those two paragraphs actually end up being 21 lines. There's a 22nd line. It's interesting that I say the number of lines, because a sofer also means a counter. So you're counting the lines, you're counting the words. to get back to the question, it depends on the experience. So when I started off, it would take me about a week to write one mezuzah. And very often, then the process is to, once you've written it, to send it to a second scribe for a double check and for a computer check. So many times it came back, they came back invalid. And that is so frustrating.
What makes it invalid? What makes it invalid?
So for instance, two letters are touching. Every letter needs to be surrounded by the parchment, by the white of the parchment. So if two letters are touching, then it makes it's invalid. Sometimes it can be fixed if it's a very minor touch. You could just scratch it out, but sometimes the whole letter becomes, the two letters form something new, and you cannot just erase ink in order to create a letter, which brings to another point that it needs to be written. So the Talmud explains that writing means to take to take ink and to write. It means not to, let's say, scratch away ink away in order to create the letter. So for it, say a blob of ink would fall onto my parchment, or I put it there, and then shave away some of that dried ink to create the letter, that would be invalid. Because I've created the letter in a way of not of writing. Because that's, I also get asked the question, why can't we print mezuzahs nowadays? And that's part of the answer.
Rabbi,
it's not considered writing.
Have you ever had, and I'm sure you have, a particularly meaningful or emotional experience while working on a scroll, something that stayed with you?
So, Paula, to be honest, I think my most powerful experiences have been ones of frustration.
And you remember them.
And those I remember so vividly, writing, spending hours, and then realizing that you've just smudged that you've...
I can't imagine.
And sometimes right at the end, putting in those, all the letters have crowns and what we call thorns on the letters. And sometimes it's just that little crown that you mess up. And then the whole mezuzah is not good. So emotionally, there have been heights of frustration. If I was, you need to strengthen your trust and faith in God, that this is part of a process and a journey, and He's doing what's good for us, etc. So we all have to work on it, even the greatest of rabbis, I believe. But it's a very gratifying experience when you have completed, say, a mezuzah or a pair of tefillin, and then stitched up the tefillin into the actual black boxes and put them together. And then when you see the person that you sold them to actually wearing them and using them, it's a very gratifying experience.
Rabbi Azriel Ozvolk, a sofer and spiritual leader whose steady hand brings holiness into our homes and shuls, one sacred letter at a time. Rabbi, as you're talking, you're reminding me that some things are still worth showing up for, or I should say slowing down for, actually, especially when they carry the weight of tradition, faith, and generations before us. Thanks so much for chatting about a remarkable and so detailed and focused profession. We appreciate your time.
This is 101.9 High FM News.
In the headlines, call for BBC CEO Deborah Turness to resign. Israel launches heavy airstrikes in Damascus in defense of Syrian Druze communities. Israeli government launches ad campaign to warn citizens against spying for Iran. And City Power taken over electricity billing from City of Johannesburg. This is 101.9 High FM News. I'm George, your AI news reader. Good morning. Starting with the BBC. Jewish organization.